I want to encourage you this morning. I don't want to create any chaos whatsoever, but I want to also be truthful about the roads we walk. I want to be truthful about the lives we live. Who's ever thought, sat down and thought, Lord, is this it? Anybody? Come on, let's be honest. Okay, great. So it's not necessarily always the easy road. But I think, and I want to encourage you with that, let's remember that we've got a God that's got our back, and we've got a God with everlasting, perfect, eternal vision. In other words, He steps back, and He sees the blip of my life, and He sees the blip of my issue, and He sees the blip of my challenge, but He sees it in eternity. And whatever you're facing, because I believe it's a theme that the Spirit is highlighting this morning, I want to say, remember this. Don't look at it from too close. Don't experience it too close. I'm not saying neglect you can face whatever you face, but just step back sometimes and say, Lord, please give me your heart. Please give me your vision. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you will come and speak to us, stir faith. And where this is specifically in communicating with you in prayer, Lord, help us to be honest with you as you are honest with us. Thank you, Father God. Some of us might be on a mountaintop at the moment and they're like, what is this all about? But some of us might be in a valley. I thank you, you will speak to both. You will speak to both. For those on a mountaintop, you might be heading to a valley pretty soon. And those in the valley, take heart, for the Spirit will take you to the mountaintop. For you are a good God. Thank you that we can today, in whatever is shared, we can fix our eyes on the fact that victory has been won. We can fix our eyes that we are spending eternity with God. We can fix our eyes on the fact that our names, and hopefully the names of our family members, are written in the book of life. And from that place, from that foundation, we can share all. We thank you for that. Spirit, have your way. Amen. So we've been doing the Sermon on the Mount because we want to build our house on the rock. Doo-dah, doo-dah. So I hope you've been building your house on the rock. It's quite easy, eh? Sure. Tough crowd. I said, it's quite easy to build your house on the rock. Am I right? No, it's a bit of a challenge. If you look at Matthew 5, 6, 7, it really comes and it cuts deep. It cuts deep in my heart. But when I take that and I don't only hear the words, but I take them to heart and I sow them into my life, I work them into my life. When the storms and the winds and the rains come, my house will not be knocked down. And so that's why we're doing a very long series on that. And now at the moment, we're in Matthew 6. Petri did a brilliant sermon last week, and we'll still want to share that testimonies at some times about the righteous deeds you do, but I'm going to finish up by just speaking about prayer this morning. How is your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Apparently, your sleeping's quite good. How's your prayer life? Sorry, am I on the edge of offending somebody? That's good. Offense is good because then you're awake. How's your prayer life, guys? Not good. Dankie, Quentin. Prys die Here. Ons is 'n eerlike antwoord. Skus, amper maak ek my kind wakker. Dan moet ek bid. Sorry? That's amazing. Jenny says she enjoys her prayer life. Does God enjoy your prayer life? Amen. Amen. That's good. He's much older than you, Jenny, so don't worry. And his hearing is still pretty good. His hearing is still pretty good. How's your prayer life, guys? Could be better. Anything? What stands out? Who enjoys prayer? Amen. Who sometimes finds prayer quite difficult? Who knows that it's not always fluff and bubbles? Amen. Great. I think we all in the charismatic circles know that it's two-way communication. Am I right? Amen. So Jesus said that he will teach his, or he helped his disciples when they said to him, and it was in Luke 11, it's not flighted on the board, but they said, Lord, teach us to pray. He then went on, and we're looking at the Matthew equivalent of it in the Sermon on the Mount. He just taught them how to pray. And we looked at the first part, and we can go to the next slide. Thank you very much. I'm just going to read about what we have done thus far. Therefore, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Now, let's just quickly stop there. We all know the Our Father, the Onse Father. Am I right? Yes. Is it about, as we said last time, about the form, about the formula, or is it about the heart, the substance of it? It's about the heart, right? So you don't have to get the words perfectly right, but we want to catch the heart. Okay, so that's very good. So his disciple says in Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us how to pray. How does this communication thing work? Who's married and have ever found communication not to be easy? Who's had good seasons of prayer in your marriage and then less so? And likewise, they're just like, okay, cool, this is a way in which we communicate. This is a way in which we connect with God. This is a way in which we're going to build this relationship. How do we do it? And he says the following. He says then, here is it. It's not a formula, but let's look at the substance. So constantly when we look at these elements I refer to in the sermon, in the Lord's Prayer, we look for the substance. What's the heart? What is God saying to us about prayer here? And we started off, we said, it's our Father. So you pray not to the manager, you don't pray to the boss, you don't pray to the CEO, you don't pray to the military head, the king, the bishop, the pastor, you pray to our Father. So the definition, what comes up when I say Father, 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 it's very important what comes up. Because that's a lens through which you will pray. So if there was, unfortunately, have to refer to something like that, if there was serious mistreatment or harsh treatment, very gross things that happen to people because of a father figure in their lives, when you say Father, boom, the lens comes up. So we need to attend to these lenses if they're hurt, because otherwise there will be no confidence in the communication. I said I had a good father that communicated well. It was easy for me to understand God speaks. It was not weird for me at all, because my dad chatted to me. Some other guys have never had the affection of their father, neither the touch of their father, maybe not even have their father say, I love you. If I say to them, pray to our Father, it might be hurtful. And so Holy Spirit, in our lives, in this church, come and bring the right definition, the right lens when we pray to our Father. Our Father that is in heaven. And then it looks at authority. We had a look at that. But then comes the next. It says, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. What did Umihan say about the will of God this morning? Umihan, what did you say? You said?
I said the kingdom of God is where his will is being done.
Yes. The kingdom of God is where the will of God has been done. I'm going to repeat that. The kingdom of God comes where the will of God is done. In other words, it's the domain of the king where he, well, hey, hit in gebied. Wie in hulle huise hit in gebied. No hands. Sometimes we eat in gebied. Ek het nie meer 'n hond nie, so ek kan nie meer eat in gebied nie. Partykeer loop die kinders deur. Maar in elk geval, so where you have a domain, where you have authority, and where your will, your ordinances, what you decide happens, there is where your will and your kingdom come. So the kingdom comes where the will of God is done. So we pray, Lord, the substance part here is when we praise, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. If his kingdom doesn't come, what else comes? What happens? Chaos, yes. It's also called the enemy's kingdom. Or even more so, if God's kingdom doesn't come through my prayer and prayer life and my life, whose kingdom is coming? Mine. Compromise. You beautifully prayed as well. One foot in the kingdom, one foot in my kingdom. And you've got this tug of war, and you can't understand Christianity because it's so tough to be a Christian. But because I'm trying to build my kingdom, and I'm also trying to please my Father and build his kingdom, but I'm just being stretched out of my brains, and I'm struggling to do this. Who's ever had this tug of war in the heart? Obviously, yes. So we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. But this is a very deep, deep request. This, when you look at substance, this is pretty deep. It's not, again, fluff and bubbles. We know where the will of God is done, there his kingdom comes. So great. So whenever we pray, we ask this substance, whatever the facts is, whatever the matter is, whatever the subject matter of my prayers, I want his will to be done. Now, perfect. Here comes the easy part. What is God's will? We have looked at it, but for me, at least where I'm at the moment, I need to knock this thing in. I'm not going to have a full, perfect understanding of the will of God yet, but I am grappling with a couple of things in my life, and I'm grappling with a couple of theological things in context of the Word and what I see and hear in people's lives, and I'm trying to say, Lord, your will is a pretty wide and deep and mysterious thing sometimes. So how do you get to the will of God? Just quickly. Getting to know Him. Yes, I like that. Getting to know Him. Yes, absolutely. You know your husband's will most of the times because you know him most of the times. You hear what I'm saying? Tongue in cheek. You know the will of your children because you get to know them. You know what their likes and dislikes is. Oh, I find making porridge, breakfast, the hellish thing on earth. Amen. Thank you, sister. We can intercede together. Because no, anyway, let's not go down that rabbit trail. But I don't always know their will. I know my will, and I know how to enforce it. And I'm like, kingdom will come at breakfast. But it really sucks. It's not a way to start the day. Anyway, I should have sorted that out in Pretoria. I apologize. Somebody here said something. Sue, you said something about the will of God. Yes, you need to spend time with Him to know what His will is. Yes, it's not going to fall through from the sky. Sometimes it does, but most often not. Tish, yes, will of God. It's a positioning thing, yes. In what sense? Yeah, absolutely. You can pray your agenda if you're listening at the recording. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Tish is just saying that you need to be careful of your own agenda often when you pray and seeking the will and kingdom of God. When we go to the substance of where we're at and what to pray and how to pray, she says it's very important that you need to spend time. You need to take everything off the table that might be you. Not that God fully not uses us, but we need to be careful of where our heart is at. And as we grow with Him and as we grow in intimacy with Him and as we start to like the things He likes. We know in marriage and with our children, we start to like the things they like. And we start to grow together. So that's the same. But you need to bring your agenda and make sure. And then as she rightfully said, it's very direct communication and you don't stop. Knock, seek, ask. Knock, seek, ask. Knock, seek, ask. So this was my week in Pretoria. So I've got times that I spent with somebody. We work through stuff. It's beautiful. It's fluff and bubbles and it's less fluff and bubbles and it's good. And then I go out and I spend lots and lots and lots of time with God. Sometimes crying out. But knocking, seeking, asking, knocking, seeking, asking, knocking, seeking. Who's got a child that does not necessarily take no for an answer? I've got one. Her name is Frida in SA. She's beautiful. She's very much like a mother. No, I'm joking. She's very much like a father. And I can understand why I can probably grind the Lord with knocking, seeking, asking, 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 knocking, the whole of eternity. But that's how I get to His will. Why do I want His will? Not because of the Lord's Prayer alone, but because I love Him. And I know when His will is done, I'm safe. Because I've had a big part of my life where my will was done. Do I need to tell you a bit of those stories? I think not, because it's recorded. I won't tell you when my will was done. So I've learned the hard way that I want His will to be done. So I knock, seek, ask, knock, seek, ask. So it's relationship, it is time with Him, and it is getting off the agendas and saying, Lord, what is your will? And here's maybe a flip side, and guard your heart here, but I've also realized that, and that's why I think the stepping back and eternal vision when it comes to things of life. Sometimes, who's ever heard the cliche? Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Have you heard that? Do you agree with it? I want to say yes and no. Yes, because seemingly righteous people go through hell sometimes on earth. And sometimes not everybody's dealt the same hand. And they go through tough stuff. Second to that, on the other side, the Word says nobody's good. So we need to figure out, Lord, what does this mean? Where I'm taking this is that Jesus was standing in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He knew what God's will was. Agendas off the plate. He was standing there. He was fearful. He knew that he was going to die and he's going to die for our sins. And it's going to be a ruthless, reckless, crazy, hard death. Yet he said, and he humbled his heart and he said, "My Father, not my will be done, but your will be done." Now, we know the story, so it's, if that's quite obvious. Had I not told you this story before, had you not known the context, what would you have thought of God and his will had I told you the story about his son? It sounds cruel. It might have offended you. And here's what I'm grappling with at the moment. Part of the gospel and part of the will of God is sometimes offensive. But God. There's a beautiful place of brokenness where you humble yourself and say, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." So when we're going to pray and say all these nice things, and yes, it's two-way communication, chat to God, we need to know that sometimes the will of God can seem harsh. But the beauty is if you step back and if we had his intimate, infinite wisdom, that all the hard stuff that you have faced and all the hard things of his will that you will be facing, need I remind you, if you humble yourself and if you keep him as Lord of your life, will be beautiful at the end of time, will be beautiful and perfect at the end of time. For tears last a night, but joy comes in the morning. And at the end of time, whatever you face, whatever heartache, through the will of God you have faced, will be beautiful at the end of the day. So when I pray, I need to take my agendas. I think, I want to be blessed, Lord. I want to be this, Lord. I want to be that, Lord. Very American, with all due respect. I want to be this, that, and the other. But yet we see in Scripture, real hard things happen to people. Who would like to be called apostle? Who would like to walk in the power of the apostles? Amen. Who would like to die like an apostle? Amen. But it might be tongue-in-cheek, but it's pretty real. That's the gospel. It's not the gospel maybe in our context these days, but it's the real gospel. And if we said to each other, the Lord is saying our theme prophetically for this year is Jesus is enough, nothing more, nothing less. We need to go to the gospel. If we want to walk in the power of the apostles, if I want to walk past and then my shadow heals his foot and heals his hand, which is, I'm not knocking, which we need, which I love, which I respect and honor, I also need to remind myself of how they died and how selfless they lived. They knew the will of God much different than I did. They didn't slip up and have one foot in the world, one foot in the Koninkrijk. You know what I'm talking about. And so when we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, we need to make sure that we know the Father we're talking to. Because when the Father that you're talking to asks you to go through the fire, if the Father that you're talking to is the one that leads you to a cross, if the Father that you're talking to is saying to you, will you lay down your life and will you actually die for me? You need to know the will, but you need to know the author. I spoke to somebody in the week, and again, if somebody goes through something horrible, I'm not automatically going to say it's sin, it's the devil, it's the Lord. It's not my job. I've done that too much, and I've been convicted about that too much. We need to step back and say, Lord, what is your heart? Because not all hardship, hear me out, church. Not all hardship is the Lord's will. We spoke about control and sovereignty the previous time. We need to be so careful. Firstly, for me to judge in your life, this is the will, it's not my place. I can pray for you and say, Lord, let your will be done. But sometimes tough stuff happens, but it's the enemy. Hy steal jou rotten call. And jy dink, ach, Here. Here, jy maak my net heilig. Nee, jy is net plain simple. Die Here maak jy nie heilig nie, die duivel steel van jou. So let's discern, let's grow maturity, but that's through relationship. That's through knowing the Word of God. And that's through having fellow believers come around me, Tish or George speaking into my life and saying, no, that's not the devil, that's the Lord. Or I don't think that's the Lord, Retief. I think that's seriously the devil. So we need to be open to that. Long story short, speak to a guy this week. He lost his wife. His kids were 8 and 4. If I cry, forgive me. But I'm in a position where I sometimes have to sit with people and I need to have these discussions. He's on fire for the Lord, loves the Lord. His wife loved the Lord. And after death, we're speaking about context here, the will of God, what we need to pray and how we need to pray. But we are eternal beings. So that's the context of the example. So I chat to him in the week and I didn't even want to go there, but he goes there and then he says, well, he had to sit with the Lord afterwards. He was broken. He said, Lord, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And the Lord said to him, you're asking the wrong question. You're asking me the wrong question. And he said, Lord, what should I ask? And God said to him, ask me how she's doing. Ask me how she's doing. And for us here on the other side, that's like, Lord. And immediately such a peace, I believe, flooded his heart. But he could tell this testimony to me with just a very raw brokenness, but such a freedom. Where on this side, you're like the small children, this husband, no, Lord, no, Lord. But yet God says, you're asking me the wrong questions. Jesus turned around to his disciples saying, Lord, we want to go bury our family member. He said, hey, let the dead bury the dead. Who would have signed up after that? Come on. Would have signed up. And it's not because he's harsh or hard, because he's also the one getting the kiddies together. He's also the one that breaks open the bread and feeds 5,000. He's the same one. He's the same one that will bless you with a car, or bless you with a holiday, or bless you with champagne. Alcohol-free champagne, obviously. Sorry, they were sarcastic. And that's the thing with the Lord's will. I sat in Malmesbury in church when we were still there without any money, not knowing where lunch will come from. And then a guy walks in, a good friend of mine, sits next to me. And I know he yesterday received a new Land Cruiser, Toyota Land Cruiser. Now, for any men here knows what that is. That's a $500,000 of amazing, amazing vehicle. Now, he sits next to me. And I said, I don't know where lunch is coming from. He just bought a $500,000 Land Cruiser. And I'm like, Jesus, who are we serving? We both worship. My hands are almost as high as he's in there. I'm worried about lunch and he's maybe worried about the petrol price. But really, Jesus, what's up with this? And this is the beauty of God. It's if I keep myself humble, if you keep yourself humble around the will of God. I know this is going into a freaking sermon now, but I believe it's important for us to be open-eyed. If I stood close to the Lord about lunch, because that cruiser very nearly offended me big time about the will of God. I'm like, Lord, one of those tires can help me for the rest of the month. Why does he need the diflok as well? Kan ek die diflok se geld kry, Here? But you need to humble yourself around the will of God, knowing that He's a good Father, because today I can stand here. By the way, I had lunch that Sunday. I'm still with you. And He sold the cruiser by now. But you hear the heart, and that's the will of God. It comes through intimacy and knowing a good Father. That's what Jesus could stand in Gethsemane and say, yes, whatever. That's why this week I needed to go back to the why. Lord, why do I do stuff? And I realized again, it's not because I understand His will always. And in fact, I know I'm going to go through seasons where I'm not going to understand His will, but I know Him. I'm going to get to know Him better and better and better. And that's what I want to leave you with, or challenge you with, or love you with, or just excite you with. Not that we're going to die upside down on crosses. Not that we're not going to know where lunch comes from. Not that we're not going to go through the fires. But that we get to know Him, that we want to follow the hard road sometimes. That's the will of God. It's not that easily packaged. Now, how to get the sermon back on the road? Let's go on. We looked at the will of God and the kingdom, and I think you get my heart and what I believe the Lord wants to say to us. He then goes on to say, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. You can go into the slide that's got that. I think it's, yeah, there you go. Now, we also know that I got lunch that day, and I hope everybody's got lunch here. By the way, if you don't have lunch today, materially, please speak to me. No jokes. This is the reality of life. I've been there, praise God. And if you're there, talk to me. That's why we're church. Going back to, give us today our daily bread. When he says that, substance speaking, about prayer, when we pray, give us today our daily bread, what comes up? What do you think? Quickly. Food? Yes. Provision. What else? Wisdom with the kids? Yes. Amen. Here, give me like a long French loaf for me, like a bike, come in, like a food, here. Sorry. Hartslaan en toast maak. Anyway. Absolutely. We love our children, but we're tested by them. So when I say, give me today my daily bread, what am I actually saying to the Lord? Yes, amen. Speak to me. There's two things here. That's firstly, physical. Who prays more for physical bread than spiritual bread? It's part of the flesh. It's part of a survival instinct that kicks in. Obviously, you got to get a guy like Bill Johnson. He says, like, he's not prayed for himself for stuff for, like, in years. I'm like, Bill, I'm not there yet. Not at all. I've prayed for myself today many times already. But when he says, give me today my daily bread, he's not only speaking about the Viennas or the Rikoffie or the Witbrood. He's speaking about something deeper as well. He's speaking about something spiritual. Who is or what is our spiritual bread, guys? Jesus. Yes, you can go to the... Oh, you are there. Praise the Lord. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Praise God, you guys do believe. But so when we say, give us today our daily bread, it is not about having to be able to buy something at Checkers, Woolies, or Pick and Pay alone. We're going to get to the physical part because that's very much part of our life. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. Later on in Matthew 6, end of Matthew 6, it's all about the birds, the bees, the birds, and the Lord looking after the people. Other needs. Come on, stay on track, guys. But it speaks about provision, and we're going to get to physical provision. But today I want to quickly focus just on spiritual provision. Who of you often asked, give me today my Jesus? Who prays that? It's a good prayer to start praying. Give me more of Jesus today. Give me more of Jesus today. So often I step into the trap of, Lord, just more provision, or please come breakthrough here, Lord. Lord, please, let's sort out the debt, Lord, this, that, and the other. But I neglect to say, give me more of Jesus. Give me more of the bread of life that is manna to my soul daily. Please give me more of Jesus. You can go to the next slide, please. The second thing that the bread is when we say, please give me my daily bread, it is the will of God, is food to our souls. It's food to our spirit. Please stay with me. This is not too deep, but it's necessary. Just as when I didn't get that lunch on that Sunday and mom was being ever after there, I didn't get lunch, I wouldn't be here. Likewise, if I didn't get my spiritual bread, my Jesus, that Sunday in Malmesbury, and ever since and this week didn't eat of Christ, didn't eat of the bread of life, I would not stand here. There's many people that's well-fed physically out here, but that they're malnourished, they're in famine, and they're actually dead spiritually because they've not had their bread. So when we pray, please give me today my daily bread. It is also, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? This is cool. This is when you're in the car, when you're out with the kids, you're like, het jy iets gegeet? Nee, het jy het tog jy het vir hulle kos? Nee, ek dog jy het hulle iets gevoer. Maar hulle cheddars, nee, hulle het nie cheddars. It's like that. They're like, what is he up to? Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. Wow. Who wants to eat that? I want to eat that. Why do I pray? Why do we knock, seek, ask? Because I want to eat the will of God. Because I am filled and fulfilled once I've had that. I love steak, make no mistake. I love pizza, make no pizza. But when I eat the will of God, when I do the will of God, when I walk out of here, I'll be filled up. I'll be full to the brim. And you can bless me with any physical food, but it will not be as beautiful as it is to do the will of God, which this hopefully is today. Second to that, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live of bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Who's ever heard a rhema word of the Lord? No, really? Who's ever heard a rhema word of the Lord? It's when the Lord speaks to you. Come on, hands up, everybody. Hopefully it will be all of us. Yes. How does it make you feel? It stirs you. It gives you faith. Again, it's substance. It fills up your belly spiritually. So when we say, Lord, give us today our daily bread, it's not only to have food, obviously, physically, but it's to say, Lord, we want more of Jesus. We want to know the will of God, and please have him speak to us. Who of you hear the audible? Not audible. Rhema, voice of God every day. It's not a competition, by the way. It's not why I ask these questions. It's not just to be all spiritual, but it's to say, hey, but that's for me. Hey, that's for me. Hey, I should. We're all called to live like that. That's why I ask these questions. Who hears God's voice every day? Cool. Who seeks God's voice every day? That's what we maybe need to do. I seek my lunch. I seek my breakfast, and I seek my supper. When I fast, I'd still seek it, but I don't eat it. But the same goes for the Lord. If you want to hear his voice, hear his rhema voice, you need to seek him and seek him for that. So he will give us food, if we ask for the bread of life, give us food that is his will and his voice. His will and his voice. What is the three things, the bread, spiritual bread? It is Jesus. Amen. So we can ask, Lord, please give us Jesus every day. It is his will, what to do, because that will feed us. It will keep us going. If you don't do the will of God, you die as a Christian. Did you know that? And lastly, his voice. Obviously, they're all connected. The voice of God is like bread to our spirit man. The third thing here, work not only for physical food. Let's be careful of where we focus. So often we work. Who of you have a job tomorrow? Hopefully. Who of you think you have a job tomorrow? Maybe a better question to ask. Great. I'll ask you on Tuesday. But we all are going to work tomorrow, but primarily to do what? Hopefully to live out your calling, be all you can be, run in your identity, or it is to get a salary, pay the bills, and eat. We're not knocking that entirely, but sometimes we can find ourselves in that place where that is the all of life. I find in our culture, I find with friends, old friends, etc., how that is just how your total world can be if you seek these things. But let's see what Isaiah says to us prophetically. Come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Oh, the Lord's beautiful, huh? Speaking of the Lord's will, he says, come, you guys who have no money, please come and buy. It's like, with all due respect, you have no legs, come and run with me. It's like, Lord, what are you saying? But he's calling us into a spiritual reality once again. He's saying, don't get too fixated. Don't get too fixated like the disciples in just the physical realm, which we're not knocking, which we're not dissing and saying we're all spiritual beings and we're not. We are acknowledging that, but we are firstly spiritual. And he says, no, come. But come with your heart. Come full of faith and come and buy from me. Come and buy and come and feed your souls. Come and feed the inner man before you feed the outer man. Come and look after the inner man before you look after the outer man. Come and fight for the things of the inner man before you fight for the things of the flesh or the outer man. Buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk and without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Who's ever spent their money and their labors on things that does not satisfy? Who's ever thought, I think that it. If I buy that, if I eat that, if I drink that, it'll be all better. Come on. Any honest people? Twee, drie, vier, sieve. Whoa. Was it acht? Eight honest. Oh, yeah, got two at the back. Great stuff. So here's a number of us that realize that often we labor for, we run after, we spend even our hard-earned bucks on things that do not satisfy. The Lord says, come on, be real, be careful. What is the context again? We're saying, Lord, give us today our daily bread, and we're digging deep into this. Why spend money on what is not bread, or your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me. Just look at that. Listen, listen. It means you need to listen. Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. Huh? How beautiful is that? Who wants to live? Who of you wants to live? We need to listen. We need to listen. What voices are out there? There's the voices of the marketplace. There's the voices of social media. There's the voices of the enemy. And we're not saying, hey, come out of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But then there's the voice of the Lord through the Word and through Scripture and through the Spirit that says, come, listen. Come, what do we value? What do we prioritize again? And what really will feed you? What will really feed you? You can go to the next slide, please. Thanks. And then in John 6:27 says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. What does this mean? It means that let's not only focus on our day jobs, getting a salary, and getting our stomachs full. Let's also say, Lord, I want to give my life. I want to give my labor. I want to give my faith. I want to give my heart unto you, Lord, to be fed spiritually, to be fed with Christ, to be fed with your voice and your will. Does this stir your faith? Or is it like, okay, what are we going to have for lunch? That happens. It happened to the disciples. So like, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. He's like, they're like, did somebody bring lunch? Jesus is like, you just missed it. So let us not be caught off guard like the disciples. Amen? Let's not miss it. Let's move on. We're going to look at physical food and physical provision. Everybody's going to be here that Sunday in a couple of Sundays' time. But let's quickly move on to forgiveness. The Lord's Prayer says the following. We're looking for the substance again. We want to know how to pray like the disciples. We now know the will of God. We know about bread being both physical and spiritual. And we looked at the physical part being Jesus, his voice, and his will. But now we move on and see that forgiveness is actually a big part of prayer. Who's ever struggled with prayer because of unforgiveness? Amen. Okay, great. So you've felt this to be true. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if we forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive you your wrongdoing. Who's that ever helped? You were in a place, you felt like you were praying up against the roof, or your prayers weren't hitting the Lord, you weren't connecting with the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit revealed to you that maybe there's some unforgiveness in your life, and you've released, you've repented, you've blessed, you've really cut that off, and all of a sudden it's like the roof lifted up. Just by the show of hands, have you had it? I just want to stir the faith of those that might be in a position. So Lord, help us, Holy Spirit, help us and remind us of this. Now, how does this work? I think myself and Edna, a while back, just to be vulnerable, we were at a place where we said, Lord, we want to fast. And we were like, what are we going to fast for? We know what we're going to fast for. How are we going to fast? And the Lord just gave us Isaiah 58, which speaks about the real fast. It's not necessarily not abstaining from food. It's, amongst other, about pointing of the finger, malicious speaking, and about judgment at the end of the day. In other words, I can come, a guy can drive in front of me, and I can judge him. I can be harsh and offended with him, and I can be unforgiving in my heart towards him. That has an effect on my life more than his, right? So the Lord just convicted us of when we are chatting about church, when we are chatting about each other, or especially even our children, not to be judgmental, not to judge. Not to be unforgiving and not to judge. What is the thing with judgment? Let's see quickly in Luke 6:37. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. What do you see there? What do you see? You sow, you reap. Love it. Couldn't have said it better. That's exactly why the Lord led us into that fast. He's just like, okay, cool. If you're going to judge that situation, that person, their character in such a way without my word, without me by the Spirit, because there's a place, hear me, charismatic church, that we can judge. We can rightfully judge with the Lord, with the word. But the moment pride kicks in, The moment my self agenda, my ambitions, etc., kicks in, it's when it gets murky, and this is what we're referring to. When out of the flesh, I'm just so offended with Petronella, there's no Petronella in the carry. I'm just so offended with Petronella, and I just wow, and I just go off this tangent. The moment I do that, whatever I sow in Petronella's life, I will reap in my own life. It's a double-edged sword. Judgment in the flesh is a double-edged sword. As I judge the taxi drivers, I will be judged myself. Who likes that? As I judge the blowbuller, I will be judged myself. That's scary. But all of a sudden, the thing that you see in somebody else's life just pops up in your life, and you're like, where does this come from? How does this work? It's because the measure that you measure with, it will be measured back at you. The moment you point the finger, and it's not God's finger, you better be careful because fear van hulle kom terug. But that finger is coming back to you. And that sword is something the Lord just showed us. Be very careful. How does this relate to prayer? Very simply so, I'm going to hinder my prayer life if I do not have grace on Nick. If I don't have grace on Davinius. Because as I don't have grace on the two of them, neither will God then extend His grace to me. If I close up my ears and I harden my heart because Nick this, that, and the other, Davinius this, that, and the other, then sowing and reaping kicks in and the Lord says, well, then I unfortunately have to close my ears and my heart towards you and your prayers. So maybe the Spirit this morning shows you somebody that you've been judging, somebody very close to you, very often, more often than not, very subjectively like, but Lord, I've got a very good reason. We need to lay that down. It's always, always just a human perspective. It's never a highlighted, high-level God perspective, perfect perspective, so be careful. Because otherwise, a double-edged sword of unforgiveness, a double-edged sword of judgment will hinder our prayers. If in our country we're going to keep on scolding, if we're going to keep on judging government, keep on judging the president, the police, the this, the that, if we keep on judging them, guess what's coming back to you? Lovely word, eh? Anyway. So grace is needed. You receive, and then you give, then you receive, and you give, and you stay humble. You can go to the next slide, please. I want to get to one or two testimonies. To err is human, to forgive is divine. That guy said. To err is human, to forgive is divine. Guys, all of us make mistakes. Everybody around you makes mistakes. Who's ever had a friend or something, somebody very close to you that you're like, you'll never drop me. And then they dropped you. Have you forgiven them? Because you've been that person yourself. You've been that person yourself. That is unfortunately the fallenness of man, and we're not perfectly sanctified yet in heaven, standing with the angels and worshiping the Lord. Not perfect yet. And I'm not knocking and saying, well, don't trust anybody, because that's also not God. Love says trust, forgive, cover, forgive, cover. How many times? 70 times several. That's a while. So keep on covering. Don't close your heart. Don't get hard-hearted. Don't get isolated. But what I'm saying is that we all are going to get into those positions where we make mistakes. And the second one that C.S. Lewis said is, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. And here's the very thing about the sword again. Very often, my sin is really not that bad as Tisha's or George's. Not really. Rarig nie. But that's again the subjective mindset. Like, if I do that over the stop street, or I do that on the road, or if I, it's just, I had a good reason for doing that on the road. Where else, somebody else didn't. With myself, I'll be judging my intentions. But with Pete, I'll be judging his actions. Who's ever seen that at work? I need to leave early. But Pete, when he leaves early, or whatever the case may be, I'm not knocking leaving early. Maybe you may. Don't let the enemy condemn you. But very often, we know our own shoes, we know our own motives, but we just see the other person's action. And as Christians and in the church, we need to be so careful of this. Lord, help us not to fall into this trap. And let's go to the last one, being temptation. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this is the last element. This is saying, Lord, don't lead us into temptation. Now here, I'm not sure that the translation is really perfectly well, because God will never lead you into temptation. If you go read James, James says very simply this: God cannot be tempted, neither does God tempt. That's what the word says in James as well. So God is not tempting us. But because of sinfulness, because of the sinful nature, because of the flesh, you end up in a place of temptation, and then the Lord needs to lead you out. He needs to help you. So he uses those places. He uses those tests. Make no mistake. He uses them, but it wasn't his idea in the first place. He's not a dad that sets up traps for his kids, because that's psycho. So he doesn't set up just these temptation traps for people. He doesn't hide money under the till and see what you do with it. No, the enemy sets you up. And then when you burn your fingers, then the Lord will help you out of it, and he will make everything work out for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. So when we pray, say, Lord, in staying close with you, in having a relationship with you, in knowing your will through the word and through the spirit, help me not to fall into those temptations. Because you know that the enemy walks around like a teethless lion. Amen. Because that's actually what it is. But he wants to set you up. Lord, lead me out of these pitfalls. Lead me away from these things. How do we do it once again? We do it through intimacy with the Lord and walking by the Spirit. I want to finish off with this and one or two testimonies. My personal biggest blessing regarding prayer, I said it the previous time, frequency in communication. This week it was just so good. It was this constant communication. It's not formula, it's just talking, it's just communing. Sometimes in my head, sometimes here, but just constantly being aware of the Lord. Just prat. And it's not like I figure everything out. I figured out that his will is quite hard sometimes. I figured out that the kingdom to come is sometimes abrasive and offensive. So you figure these things out. It's not all fluff and bubbles, but it's constant. So I want to encourage you, constantly communicate with him, because in that you also find the nuggets, the beautiful things, this place where he just comes and he kill you. He just knows you, and he knows what gets to you, and he just pulls you close, and he just whispers in your ear something that just the two of you know. Is there some stuff that just you and the Lord know? And when you need to explain it to somebody else, it sounds stupid. Anybody have that? That's the beautiful thing of intimacy. It's just that open vulnerability and trust that it's actually a bit weird and awkward for other people. Prayer can be like that. We need to stay to Scripture. Although we're not a New Age bunch of people, but stay close to Scripture. But there's just places where the Lord just speaks into your heart. He just shows you something. A song comes up. You see something in nature, and it just, the two of you just know. You just know. So I want to encourage you. Be frequent in your communications. Be humble and honest. Who have you struggled to be honest with the Lord? Who have you struggled to be honest with the Lord? He doesn't know it. Joke. He does know it. Because he knows everything, and you can relax because he's a good father. I've also had those spaces where you're like, Lord, can I tell you this? Can I say? But Jacob shows us. He shows us that he wrestled with God in honesty. Wrestle with the Lord. Amen. Mila. Who of you have ever wrestled with the Lord? Heard a couple of times this week, never trust a leader that doesn't work with a limp. Huh? It's quite a cool story, eh? But I'm not going to trust necessarily the guy that's cookie cutter and all looks nice and beautiful and shiny on the outside, but you've not known if they've been through a battle or two, if they carry the scars, if they've made mistakes. Are they weak? I love weak leaders. Not too weak, because otherwise you're not going to go anywhere. But a little bit of weakness is fine. So be humble and honest with the Lord in your prayer. This all, I believe, cultivates a true connection and intimacy. What is intimacy? It's truthfulness. It's to be like Adam and Eve, naked and unashamed. Intimacy breeds trust and faith, and we know from that comes fruit. You can go to the next and last slide, please. We've got a couple of minutes. Now, last time I couldn't remember which of the testimonies I shared, and I just want to share on the power of prayer and lifestyle of intimacy with the Lord, because it's just so important, just on identity maybe, and above it says, I am who He says I am. Came out of the world, and immediately, and I've said this in church before, but I want this maybe just to stir the faith for one or two of you guys. What does God say? Who does He say you are? There's something that your family, your natural earthly family says that you are. There's something that your feelings sometimes tell you that you are. There's something that your past want to dictate who you are. There's something that our culture says who you are. But then there's the most important one. What does God say? Who does He say you are? Now, mine was faithful warrior in Christ when I got to the Lord, and I didn't look the part, I didn't feel the part. And sometimes through the seasons of my 15-year journey with the Lord, I really didn't feel the part. But lately, the Lord twice has, again, very accurately came to confirm the identity, the name He gave me. I want to ask you, who are you? It's very important through prayer and intimacy with the Lord to know you are. Because what happened to Jesus? Matthew 3, 4. He comes up from the water. God says, this is my Son in whom what? I'm well pleased. This is my Son, like we heard this morning. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. What happened just after that? Gets led into the desert to do what? Get challenged on that. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. I've said this many times before, but you're going to get challenged on your identity, guys. God said your ex, you're going to get challenged on it. It's going to go through the fire. And guess what's going to come out on the other side? It's still the Lord. Because He spoke it over you. Not necessarily all your actions, not necessarily all your fruits, not necessarily what your family or people or culture or I think, but what He says. That will come out the other side if you keep your heart humble before Him and you let Him sometimes prune you. So that was definitely something in my life that the Lord did. You see, there's a fire there at a stage in Malmesbury when I was still driving in and out, working as a lawyer, earning more than enough. One morning, I drove back home on the N7. It's beautiful, going back to the Platteland, living the life, living the dream. And the Lord just dropped into my spirit very clearly. He said, and you will not even smell of smoke. I'm like, Lord, I'm not even smoking anymore, Lord. It just dropped in my spirit, and you will not even smell of smoke. Immediately I knew where it came from. It comes from the Word. Who knows where? Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were into the furnace, into the fire. They had to die, but the angel saved them. And the Word then says, when they came out, and they did not even smell of smoke. Guess what? That was a warning. Because just after that, I got retrenched. Just after that, we were both at home without employment, saying no to jobs that God says no to with a child, receiving handouts and losing our cars. We went through the furnace. But what did God say to me through prayer? He said, you don't know this, my son, but you're going to go through a hellish fire. But here's something for you. Here's something to hold on to you. You will not even smell of smoke. So many times I had to hold on to that word because the fire was pretty real. It was 3.5 years of real, of being part of 5 years. But today I can honestly say I don't have scars, I don't have issues. I still buy Viennas. In fact, I love them to my detriment. But I did not smell of smoke, just through intimacy and prayer life. There's a trampoline there. In that season, we had no money. Guess what? What Frida wanted, a trampoline, en nie 'n kleintjie nie, grootte. And I was laughing at her, not in a very positive way, when we were living like that, and she said, I want a trampoline. But by the grace of God, the Lord stopped my mouth for where our heart wanted to talk nonsense. And what came out is I said, okay, kom ons begin bid af hoor. I had no faith for a trampoline. For the next 6 months, about every night, we prayed for a trampoline. And my dad's heart just broke because I knew I can't buy her a trampoline. At a stage, she was praying and then saying, and when people come over, I'm going to hide it in my room. And I'm like, no, you can't hide the thing that you are trusting God for. You need to share it. It's like asking for the bucky, but I don't want to borrow it out. It's a good point. If you need to take a free child away, please phone me. And so I said to her, because her faith was just so real, she's already hiding the trampoline when kids are coming over. So I needed to disciple into that lie as well. But she just prayed, and she just knew she's going to get a trampoline. And each night, I'm just thinking, Lord, what? Out of the blue, Edna's parents phoned one day. We didn't mention it. It was only in our prayer room, nothing. They phoned up, and they said, it's almost Frida's birthday. We thought, how about buying her a trampoline? We'd like to buy a trampoline. I was in tears. I was in tears. So yes, God is the God who wills to send his son to the cross to die a horrific death. His will is sometimes very weird and very, very challenging, but he's also the God that brings forth a trampoline to a young girl to teach her something about her heart. You get what I'm saying today? It's the power of prayer. Psalm 127, here at the bottom, in that same season, my birthday. It wasn't my 30th. Well, it was a pretty big birthday. We didn't have any money. Edna's love language is gifts. She didn't have money to buy me anything, but I was going to a very important meeting that day. And all she was able, I've shared this with some of you, I believe, but all she could give me that birthday was a psalm. She couldn't buy me a gift, but she gave me a psalm, but it was a prophetic psalm. What did we say is bread again? We said bread is Jesus. Bread is the will of God, and bread is the voice of God. And so she gave me bread that day. For my birthday, she gave me a gift of bread, which was Psalm 127, that spoke directly into the meeting I was heading into. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor out in vain. Because I had to say no to a call to where I believe the Lord didn't call me. And that bread, that word of God, was substance to me through what? The power of prayer. Not something that you can flash on TV, but something I can share as my pearls today with you, knowing as I know, this is my God. Knowing as I know that he knows the absolute detail of my life. Knowing as I know that his will is sometimes offensive, but it's always beautiful. And it's always got the best of intent because he's always a good father and he will always stay good. And I don't care through what fires you go, whatever you may face in life, God's character stays the same. Let's see if there's one. This one. It's something spinning. Edna had vertigo. And so you feel like you're losing your marbles, as you said this morning. So she had vertigo where your head just starts spinning. And it's just the weirdest thing. You can't do anything. And it just came up. And one day God just came to her and just, literally in a visionary state, just came and grabbed her cheeks. It was just like she saw in her heart. And he said to her, I've got you. It'll be fine. And how that word just came, and Jesus kept on to that word until the thing lifted off from her life. The same happened there in the bottom right-hand corner, keep calm and it's going to be okay. I've been facing a couple of rough stuff the last year and a half, six or so big things that altogether is just feels like too much for me. And in that one day, I'm grappling with the Lord. I have to prepare for Men's Monday. I'm like, Lord, really, what's going to happen? Lord, what? And I'm just at war with the Lord. And the guy sitting there in Exclusive Books there at the coffee place looks at me, goes on. As I stand up and pack up my things, he looks up. His name is Nick. He says, now I know his name is Nick. He says, look, I never do this. It's very weird. But I just believe the Lord says to you, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And for him, it's like, it feels like a simple word, but I'm like, you have no idea what that means. It's going to be okay. A rhema word of God. In other words, he's being God's mouthpiece, because I'm praying, I'm struggling, I'm fighting with God. What? And here the stranger comes and says, God says it's going to be okay. Then you've got faith through prayer. Lord, which one? Which one? What's on your heart, Lord? That ring there. I know friends of ours, they're in Germany and they go to Spain for holidays and stuff. It sounds nice. But the guy lost his ring. The guy lost his freaking ring on the beach. Who's ever lost a ring on the beach? Have you seen it happen? Long story short, so they get onto the phone and they're like, no, we can pray. And sometimes we're in tune with the Lord and we start praying and praying and praying. And the Lord gives clear and accurate words of knowledge of where it's hidden in the sand, something where his feet, something sandal, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and they needed to kick or something. And they did exactly what she did. And they're actually on the beach because they played all over. It wasn't like there was that spot, and she went, like, it was really this insane, or incredible, not insane, incredible word of knowledge. They went back in, I think it was a beach in Spain, did exactly as she said, and he picked up and he's got his ring. Just through childlike prayer. On the other side of the world, this side of the world, the Holy Spirit is downloading something to Edna. She sends it across the world on a WhatsApp. They, through the grace of the Lord and His Spirit, goes, and at the end of that prayer, they find the ring, which obviously had much more sentimental value than material value. I remember maybe this one to end off, that one upper hand is our neighbor's kids and our kids. Now, when we moved to Melkbos, we had a bit of a deposit to put on the house, and when we had to get out of our lease two and a half years later, I had been praying where to buy, because we didn't have any margin to do this. It was very, very tight. And I prayed, and I prayed for about a year, and all the Lord would constantly just say and pray to me. He said to me, "Die huis gaan na jou toe kom. Die huis gaan na jou toe kom." In other words, here I'm eating bread. I'm knowing this is the will of God. So this is feeding me. It's sustaining me. So it came to the last month of my rent, and we couldn't, because at that stage in the market, either if we could have bought something like this, or when we had to buy something big enough for our family, it would be twice as expensive as we could, and we just couldn't get in. So I went to this Garden Cities, and I sat down with a lady, had the discussion with her, and she said, I think it was 3 to 6 months, and there was 300 people on the waiting list. And she's like, "Oh yes, that's right. Come back in 3 months, and then 6 months thereafter, you can have a home." And I'm like, I'm in the last month of my rental agreement, and the agent wants to know what I'm going to do. That's not an option. Because there we could have afforded the place only just. And then I go back to the Lord, time and time and again. I'm Lord, the agent is on my back. My wife is on my back. I have no idea what to do. We are past the time to decide now. Because I'm in the last month of my lease. I have been praying for a year, and only hear one thing of the Lord. He just didn't change his tune whatsoever. This is all. But I knock and I seek and I ask, and I knock and I seek and I ask. But God's got he's a bit tougher than me. So he didn't change, which means I need to change. I keep on praying, went to Garden Cities. Some of you know the story. Literally 3 days later, so the lady says, "There's no way." 3 days later, I'm Johan cycling, or he goes around, goes to Garden Cities, sits down, has the same chat with the exact same lady. Because that Sunday, 3 days prior, he prayed for us and he heard the Lord says, "Do not settle, do not settle." In other words, don't settle for anything that is not the Lord's will. He goes there, tells the exact same story on our behalf. I didn't know about it. And after our conversation, correct me if I'm wrong, she turns around and says, "You know what? Just before you came in, half an hour before you came in, there were two people that pulled out of a current development that is currently being built that will be done in 3 months' time or 4 months' time." And he's like, "What? Can you?" And she's like, "Yeah, you can tell your friend." In other words, she skipped. I don't know if this is, well, anyway, I've said it. I don't know if you're on that list, and I apologize if you were on that list. But anyway, we were not on that list. God is good. You're going to have lunch. Somebody's going to buy a cruiser, and it's okay. And so he phones me up, and Johan is an academic, he's a professor, and he's also just a nice person, but he's got good manners. He's not intrusive. He always asks, "Do you have time this week to have coffee?" But that day, no. He phones me and says, "Are you at home? I'm coming over." I'm like, "Is somebody dead? He's an elder. Lord, help me." Long story short, what was the word that God gave me the whole of that year? He said, "Die huis gaan na jou toe kom. The house will come to you." In walks Johan. I'm like, this is so not Johan. He comes, he throws the plans on my kitchen table. He says, "I've got your house." And boom, in that place. Get into the car half an hour later, walk through it. The Lord just comes upon us. And we know this is the place that the Lord wants to give us for this season. And by the grace of God, we could afford it at that stage. And the Lord just comes and speaks powerfully through prayer. God for a year did not change his tune. Because you know what is coming. I didn't understand. But he doesn't give us understanding that makes sense. He gives us peace that surpasses understanding. There's lots others. I've got 16 others written down. And then I've got, as we started chatting, literally hundreds of powerful prayer moments being answered just through simple prayer, keeping to the basics, the substance that the Lord has shown us in the heart in the Lord's Prayer. Will you stand with me? Let me quickly pray. God, thank you for grace. Thank you that we are children. Thank you, Lord, that this is not for me. It's not for the pastor. It's for everybody with your Spirit, that as Jesus is Lord and God is a Father. Lord, please keep us to these elements of prayer, Lord. Please help us to know that you're a good Father. Lord, when it comes to your will, make us humble and realize, Lord, that your will, even read in Scripture and seen very times in practice, your will is not necessarily comfortable to our flesh and to our culture. Help us not to submit one to the other, but to you and your perfect will and nothing else, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you will enable us to be forgivers, to be free, Lord, and to forgive others so that you can hear our prayers and that our prayers may be answered. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, I'm not going to give time. I don't believe you want to give time for a specific ministry. I just want you to stretch out your hands. If you want a lifestyle of powerful prayer, not for selfishness, but for His will, because of intimacy, because of relationship. Lord, you see these hands? And we just say, Lord, please come. We are your people. We want the real deal, Lord. Sometimes the real deal is not easy. Sometimes it's beautiful, sometimes it's exciting, and sometimes it feels like death. But we come and humbly submit our lives again to you and say, Lord, may we be a people, may this church be a people of powerful prayers, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. Lord, may it be frequent. May their testimonies roll over. May we have these pages upon pages upon pages upon pages, Lord, of testimonial walls of where we love God and love people and saw His hand through simple communication of prayer and to see His kingdom come and His will be done. Have your way in all of these lives and everybody else that wants to receive it, that listens to this message. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We lift up your name. We lift up your goodness. We say your kingdom come, your will be done. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.